The first reading is taken from Jonah, chapter 3, verse 10, and chapter 4, verse 11. When God saw what they did and how they turned from their evil ways, he relented and did not bring them the destruction that he had threatened. And should I not have concern for the great city of Nineveh, in which there are more than 120,000 people who cannot tell their right hand from their left, and also many animals? This is the word of the Lord. Our gospel reading is taken from Matthew, chapter 20, verses 1 to 16. The parable of the workers in the vineyard. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire workers for his vineyard. He agreed to pay them a denarius for the day and sent them into his vineyard. About 9 in the morning he went out and saw others standing in the marketplace doing nothing. He told them, "You also go and work in my vineyard, and I will pay you whatever is right." So they went out. He went out again about noon and about 3 in the afternoon and did the same thing. About 5 in the afternoon he went out and found still others standing around. He asked them, "Why have you been standing here all day long doing nothing?" "Because no one has hired us," they answered. He said to them, "You also go and work in my vineyard." When evening came, the owner of the vineyard said to his supervisor, "Call the workers and pay them their wages, beginning with the last ones hired and going on to the first." The workers who were hired about 5 in the afternoon came and each received a denarius. So when those came who were hired first, they expected to receive more. But each one of them also received a denarius. When they received it, they began to grumble against the landowner. "These men who were hired last worked only 1 hour, they said, "and you have made them equal to us who have borne the burden of the work and the heat of the day." But he answered to them, "Friend, I am not being unfair to you. Didn't you agree to work for a denarius? Take your pay and go. I want to give the one who was hired last the same as I gave you. Don't I have the right to do what I want with my own money? Or are you envious because I am so generous?" So the last will be first, and the first will be last. This is the word of the Lord.
May I speak now in the name of our wonderful and awesome God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Do take your seats. So today we are on... Did you know you're in the middle of a mini-series? You may not have noticed that. I'm not sure, really. And it's a mini-series. Last week, and we're in Matthew for three parables that Jesus told. And this week, we are thinking around the story that Gemma just read to us that Jesus told. So it's a series called Giving in Grace, and it is about giving, but it's not just about money, as we'll find out later. And this one, if you remember nothing else, this is the one about it's not fair. Yeah, that's the one thing to remember. And it's a nice simple story, isn't it? Yeah, it's got three main elements to it. It's got a landowner, it's got some labourers, and it's got a vineyard. So nice, three elements. So you've got the landowner, haven't you? He is definitely the boss. He owns the vineyard, of course. And he has work to be done in his vineyard. But he can't do it all himself, or he wants other people to be part of what he is doing in his vineyard. So he's looking for workers. And then, as the day progresses, he's looking for even more workers to do the work that needs to be done in the vineyard. He's the one who sets the wages and agrees them with the workers as he hires them. He's the one who then sends the workers into the place of work, the vineyard. And then he is the one, at the end of the day, who organises the last people to be paid first, and the first people to be paid last. He's the one who has to deal with the grumpiness and the envy of the workers, but he is also the one who sticks to his generous principles. So that's the landowner. Then we have the labourers. Well, they're the ones that want some work. They're the ones who are willing and waiting. Some of them, dare I say it, are up and about earlier than others. Some of them, you know, they may have other commitments in their lives. They may be more elderly or infirm, but they might be lazy, some of them, because they're not in the marketplace ready to be hired until late in the day. Maybe they've got other part-time jobs to do. We don't know. So, those of the workers, all of those who are willing, get hired. And they too have a sense of justice and fairness, don't they, in the story. But they get envious of others, and they give the landowner the evil eye. And they grumble, because they think the workers who put in a full day should have had more pay than the ones who only did an hour. Okay, that's the workers. And then, of course, the sort of place where all this happens, or the centre of this, is the vineyard. And a vineyard is, it's not very familiar to us, is it really? Although, with the weather we've had, it probably feels like we could have some vineyards around at the moment, and we do have vineyards in this country, do we not? But it would have been a familiar place of work to Jesus' listeners. There'd have been a vineyard just up the road or outside the village. But the vineyard is also representative of lots of things, really. Probably too many things to go into here, but it's representative of the world that God has created that brings forth fruit. And it's also representative of Israel from the Old Testament in relationship to God. Israel is God's vineyard, so it's his, he owns it, and it's his prized possession. And it's also representative of the kingdom of heaven. Because Jesus introduces the parable by saying the kingdom of heaven is like, and then he tells the story. So that's the vineyard in essence. So we've got our three elements. So what's it about? Well, like many of Jesus' lovely simple parable stories, it's not so simple really, and it's about a lot of things. And it's about what the audience needs to hear from God as well. So I've got three things beginning with the same letter. How clever's that? Yeah, it's about grumbling, I think, for a start, and it's about generosity, and it's also about giving. So grumbling. Oh dear. Like the children of Israel in the desert after they escaped from Egypt, when they grumbled, didn't they, that Moses had taken them out into the desert and they'd be better off in Egypt, and oh, it was hot and there was no water. Oh dear, we'd have been better off back there than dying in the desert. Remember all that stuff? Yeah, it's a bit depressing, isn't it? But we're understandable, but still a bit depressing. But that's what this is about, really. They grumbled. Because they had a sense of injustice. It's not fair. And we have a sense of injustice too about some of these things, don't we? And I think it's, as I said, it's an it's not fair story. And that it's not fair is written deep in us, isn't it, from an early age. It's probably after no, in one of my son's cases, and yes, and me, and all that kind of, it's one of the first little phrases that we learn, isn't it? It's not fair. Certainly if we've got brothers or sisters. And I was talking to somebody about this the other day, a friend, and she said she had acted this story out with a group of people who all had learning disabilities. They'd acted this story out, and she said the way this story went, when they acted it out and they realised what it was saying, she said it turned into chaos because it offended their sense of what was right and fair. So you can see this has got some real bite to it, isn't it? If we're willing to take it in. But we grumble. We can grumble about it's not fair, can't we? It's so easy to do. But it's also not only about grumbling, but it's also about generosity. The landowner in this case, or Father God, gives generously to all who come. And it reminded me as I read this of the story of the prodigal son, where the father welcomes the runaway home open-heartedly. And of course we remember the older person, the older brother, grumbles because it's not fair. Yeah, I don't need to go through that story, you've heard it plenty of times, but it's the same thing, isn't it? It's not fair. I've done the worst for you, and look at him. He's run away with all, spent all your money, and look at what you're doing for him. Yeah, it's the it's not fair thing. We can do that too, can't we? We can look at God's generosity and say it's not fair. But God is generous, our God is generous, in welcoming every sinner who repents. There's no barrier to that. Every sinner who repents, God is generous and welcoming too. And that includes deathbed conversions too. That's part of what this story says to me, that those who come in early in the day, yes, that's great, and they do a full day's labour and they get their full reward. But coming in even at the end of the day, God is still generous. He's just as generous. It's never too late for God's generosity. Don't forget that. God's deal, if you like, to these in through this landowner is generous and it's fair. And it's on the table for all who ever want to accept it, whether they come early or late in the day. And God's generosity is always available, but it's on his terms. We may have our sense of right and justice, and there's nothing wrong with some of those things, but actually, God's perspective is that bit different. So we need to accept God's generosity, open-handed generosity, on his terms. So we have a generous God. And the third thing this is about, I think, is about giving. And I think what this says about giving is that our giving, whether that's in financial terms or other terms, comes out really of our acceptance of God's generosity and his grace. Just think. Which of the workers in this story would have been likely to give more generously out of their wage? What do you think? Would it be those who'd worked all day? Or those who'd worked an hour? And then realised that they'd all got the same pay for what they'd done that day? Who do you think would have been more inclined to give because they experienced the generosity of the landowner? You may disagree with me, but I thought, as I thought about this, that it would be some of those, at least, who only worked for an hour. The ones who came at the end of the day, would the generosity of the landowner would be more obvious to them than those who put in a full day's shift, worked through the heat of the day, only had a short break for a sandwich or whatever in the middle of the day and thought, I put in a really heavy shift today. But actually, maybe that might have made them resentful towards the others and they would have been less generous as a result. So that their hearts could have been hardened. But I think the ones who God was most generous to at the end of the day would have been the most grateful to God and the most generous to others. Like we were hearing last week, it's not about just receiving, it's about how generously we give to others. That's what I think. You can decide for yourselves what you think about it. So what do we say in conclusion then about this little story? Well, I think what we say is, it's about money, but it's not just about money at all, is it really? But Jesus knew that money, he talked a lot about money, but he knew that money exposes what's in our heart. When you talk about money, that really gets to who we are, how we make our decisions, what we think and what our attitudes are to God and to other people. Money exposes our hearts as mean or generous. Our attitudes and actions with regards to money say a lot about us, and they say a lot about how we are spiritually. Maybe that's why we don't talk about money very much. So if our eyes are set firmly on God, and we are thankful, we will see the generosity of God to us and to others, rather than comparing ourselves to our neighbours, who we may see as having more than us, and then we start grumbling about it. Jesus' point in this story, and it's clear from the story, it says what the point is, so we don't have to guess what the point is. It says, the last will be first, and the first will be last. And as ever, he leaves us. Whoever we are, and whatever our circumstances are, and whatever age we're in, whether it was the people he was speaking to directly then in Israel, or whether it's to us today, he leaves us to get the point, or to pass it by. Let's pray that as God speaks to us today about ourselves and our own situations, that we will get the point. Let's pray. Father God, thank you for this story. I pray that you would use it through us as we think it through, as we respond, as we go through the week, as we think about the decisions we make and our hearts towards you and towards others. I pray that you'd help each one of us to get the point that you are wanting to make for us today and to receive it with grace and to trust you with all that we have, that we might give, because we know what a generous God we have. In Jesus' name. Amen.